Back to the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Friday at this time after the 8 o'clock news means Brian Lilly of Sun Media. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bill.
How's the air in Toronto?
Not as bad as Ottawa. I can normally see the eastern side of Lake Ontario. If I go up to my rooftop, 24th floor, look out from that vantage, I can see the lake. Haven't been able to see it for the last few days, and especially in the mornings for some reason, more than the afternoon. In the mornings, it's a bit thicker and a bit tough, bit tougher to breathe.
Well, ours has moved out. We gave it all to you. So enjoy. We're breathing fresh air this morning. Although this afternoon it might get a little trickier here, but not like we had. It got disgusting. Unbelievable. All right. So let's go with your headline here on your column. Trudeau's words on low interest rates come back to bite him. Let me guess. Don't worry about all the money we're spending and the debt. Interest rates are low. And as a percentage of the GDP, we're going to be fine.
What? He was asked on this day, 3 years ago, June 9th, 2020, he was asked by CTV's Glenn McGregor, you're adding all this money to the national debt. The carrying costs are going to be difficult. And before McGregor could finish his question, Pierre Poilievre has been tweeting out this video clip. Trudeau's interrupting McGregor saying, I'm sorry, what? Well, Glenn. Interest rates are at historic lows. They're not anymore. They've gone from, at that point, 0.25% to 4.75%. They might go up to 5% total by, July 12th, the next meeting. And that has had an impact on what the federal government spends just to service the debt. We're spending almost as much to service the national debt as we spend on healthcare. So as Poilievre has been asking this week, saying, can you get spending under control? Trudeau says, well, you want to get rid of this program or that program. We could spend, I think it's about $5 billion a year is what they're going to spend on the National Child Care Program. 8 National Child Care Programs, 22 National Dental Care Programs. Just based off of what we're spending on the national debt at this point. Trudeau.
How naive of the Prime Minister, and I know I had this point of view at the time, how naive of the Prime Minister, and a lot of other people, by the way, who went out and borrowed big money and didn't lock in their mortgage rates, how naive to think that the interest rates would stay at historic lows forever, that there was anywhere to go but up. They had to go back up. There was nowhere else to go. I don't know that we anticipated that they'd go this high, but Brian, I know you know this. They've been historically way higher than this, and I'm afraid now of just how high they could go. They should have seen this coming.
Well, I think I locked in at a variable rate mortgage at about 5% in 2006, 2007. It was, a prime minus is what I had. And I ended up getting down to below 1% on that mortgage. But of course, they're going to go back up. But we had more than a decade of low interest rates. And at a certain point, yes, they do have to go back up. But the Prime Minister told people they wouldn't. He acted as if they wouldn't. He spent as if they wouldn't. And then when, Poilievre rightly asks, can you rein in spending? The budget's gone up 55%. It's well above the rate of inflation. Total spending's gone up 55%, excluding COVID spending. And Poilievre says, can you rein in spending? Trudeau acts as if, well, we'll take away all the goodies from Canadians. That's not what needs to happen. We need to get spending under control.
Poilievre has pivoted to the budget and inflation and interest rates. Is that because he feels he's won all the points he can on China and interference? Because it was interesting that he made that switch this week.
Probably. You know, if you look at different polls, have different results, but I'm not sure that China's interference is going to undermine support for the Liberals any more than it already has. And when and where does Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives get their best outcomes? It's when they're talking about economic issues. And so I think that is why you saw this pivot. And, you know, at one point, I thought there were, you know, points to be had on going back over some of what David Johnston said. And I think Wednesday, Poilievre spent his entire time asking Trudeau about economic issues.
I'm sure you noticed that David Johnston has ended his affiliation with Navigator, a public relations firm, because of, you're going to love this, conflict of interest. Turns out that Navigator did work with one of the MPs who was going to be the subject of the inquiry. Navigator said we didn't have them both at the same time. And conflict of interest seems to be a concept that's a bit lost on David Johnston.
And again, listening to advice from people that should have told him more, that he should have asked more questions of, but he didn't. Navigator probably should have said, yeah, look, we were just representing Han Dong, one of the, you know, guys you're going to be investigating. I know people at Navigator and smart people at Navigator. A lot of this looks bad on them as well.
Let's think this through. This company is going to advise him on a conflict of interest scandal, and they didn't think to talk about or examine a possible conflict of interest that they were in.
That's
concerning.
That is a huge problem for both them and for him. David Johnston just looks bad from so many angles. And this week, when he was before committee, he looked confused. Jenny Kwan, the new Democrat MP who's been a subject of some of the targeting from China, she asked him about the irregularities in Han Dong's nomination. He started answering about something else. And she's like, well, no, I'm asking about Han Dong and the irregularities. And he looked confused and said, irregularities? Can you be a bit more specific? The irregularities you wrote about that you said were valid. Did you tell the prime minister about them? He looked so confused.
Can I ask you just before I let you go here about the Liberal government's thinking on hybrid parliament and continuing it? I have a lot of concerns about this. Maybe the more subtle concern I have is, and you spent a long time working on Parliament Hill, mm-hmm. It's just that I think it's going to just be even more divisive. Parliament functions really well when, yes, people have heated debate in the House of Commons, but part of what makes a country like Canada work is conversations that happen in the hallways, conversations that happen over lunch, where members of Parliament from different parties can find a way to compromise on certain issues and win support over on votes. And I just think part of that is missing right now. And we need to get members of Parliament back to Ottawa to do the important work of the country. Maybe the odd exception, someone is ill or whatever, get permission to do work remotely for a short period of time. But in general, I think this is a big mistake.
I would agree. And the ability to meet someone and find out, oh, they're not as radical as I thought. They're not how they are portrayed in the media. They are not how I perceive them. Well, we agree on certain things. We disagree on others, but we agree on certain things. Oh, their kid is in soccer like mine. Their mother is going through the same thing as mine. It humanizes each side, and you get to find those compromises because you realize you're sitting across from a fellow Canadian. You're sitting across from a fellow human being. That doesn't happen in this hybrid setting. There are some MPs who have not been to Ottawa in a very long time due to the fact that they can sit at home, do all their votes, do all their committee meetings from their dining room table. I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I don't either. You and I know both from doing this job, and I know this doesn't, you are not one of these people, but I've worked with so many people. They'd be on the air pounding away at a politician and insulting their point of view on something, and then that politician sat in the studio in front of them, and all of a sudden it was all, oh, and nice to have you on the show. The hypocrisy was unbelievable, because it's harder to look someone in the eye face to face and tell them how you really feel. And sometimes that's a good thing. And when it comes to governing and compromise, it's a good thing. When it comes to getting to know people, it's a good thing. And this is not good for Canada.
I saw Olivia Chow, who is most likely going to be Toronto's next mayor, at an event last night. And I've known Olivia a long time. She knows what I've written about her lately. And I said, it's great to see you. I hope you're well. Are you still in the same place? We chatted for a bit. I said, you know, I'm still against you. And she said, yes. But we parted ways as, you know, still on great terms, as we have been for close to 20 years, as I've written good things and bad things about her. But we see each other in person from time to time. We're able to navigate that and you know, still come out as respectful on the opposite end.
I loved her husband too, Jack Layton. We would have off the air great conversations about life and family and love, and but we both knew we're turning on the microphone now. We, you know, we're going to disagree because we don't agree on things. But it made me respect him more as a human being and listen more to what he had to say. It makes you think, well, I know he comes from a good place, so is there something here that I can learn from?
Exactly.
That's what Parliament ought to be.
And you don't get that when you don't see each other in person.
No. Not on Zoom, you don't, or any parliamentary equivalent. You have a great weekend, Brian.
You too, Bill.
Brian Lilly, read him every day on Sun Media. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill Carroll.